This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Here, let me can you see my screen? Yep. Okay, so here's what you have to do. You got to go on Kahoot.it. If you're using a desktop, you need to have a second window open. If you're using like something like a mobile device, you might have to switch between apps. Either way, we'll give it a shot. Okay? Yes or no? There we go. We're having people join. That's awesome. Let me quickly hide this guy here. Oh, this is very good. Thank you very much. Very good. Oh, it's about to start, actually. Oh, subhanAllah, I forgot to stop the auto. Oh, boy. Okay. I think... All right, never mind. Inshallah. It's going to start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wait.
Inshallah. Okay, let's go. All right. Some of the questions that I had discussed before. The Prophet ﷺ was born in Mecca. False or true? I discussed this before in like the very first session. Some of this is like a review from that. Okay. Just to make sure that we can kind of go and assess ourselves before we proceed. Excellent. The answer is true. And the leaderboard, mashallah, Sulaiman is at the top. All right. Question number two. How old was the Prophet ﷺ when he received the first revelation? 25, 53, 40, 63. The correct answer is he was 40 years old. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Keep those dates in mind. These are important dates. Next question. How old was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he left from Mecca to Medina? How old was he? 25, 53, 40, or 63? The correct answer is 53. That is correct, mashallah. He was 53 years old and he left from Mecca to go to Medina. All right. Close game here at the top. How old was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he passed away? Same options. And the correct answer, mashallah, all of you got is 63 years old, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay. Okay, so that gives us what? That gives us how the entire Quran was revealed in how many years? 23, all in one shot, 13, or 10. The entirety of it was revealed in 23 years because he received revelation at 40, passed away at 63. So that's 23 years. All right, next question. The Meccan era Quran was revealed in all in one shot, 10 years, 23 years, or 13 years. It was revealed in 13 years. Meccan era, from when he was 53, he left Mecca, right? So he had spent 13 years preaching in Mecca, and that is why it is 13. All right. The Medinan era Quran was revealed in how many years? Correct answer is 10 years. The Prophet, so 13 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina, and that, folks, gives us our 23. Excellent. Next question. Which of the following is not a name of the Quran? Al-Kitab, Al-Quran, As-Sunnah, Al-Furqan. The correct answer is As-Sunnah. As-Sunnah is not a name of the Quran. Al-Kitab, we discussed last time, is the name of the Quran. Al-Quran, we discussed, is the name of the Quran. Al-Furqan today we're going to discuss is the name of the Quran as well. Okay, how many ayat are in Surah Baqarah? This is a tricky one. 10, 255, 286, 282. It's a tricky one. But the correct answer is 286. The longest surah in the Quran has 286 ayat in it. And lastly, the greatest ayah of the Quran is Ayatul Kursi. False, true. And the answer is true. The greatest ayah in the Quran, as the Prophet ﷺ has told us, is Ayatul Kursi. And that is our, alhamdulillah, our podium. MashaAllah, great job, everybody. Hassan, Kenzie, and Suleiman. Hold on. All right, that's it. That was the, I don't know, it's moving on to like a different...
True. The greatest ayah in the Quran,
sorry, hold on. It's moved on to a different kahoot. So, jazakumullah khairan. Let's quickly review what we were discussing with the idea of, the Ulum al-Quran segment, the topic of the revelation we discussed. Now let's jump into the names, okay? The names of the Quran. We discussed that Al-Quran is the name of the Quran, obviously. Al-Kitab is the name of the Quran. And Al-Furqan is another name of the Quran. Now, you might say, well, why does the Quran have so many names? Okay? Well, the names are descriptive, okay? The names are descriptive. What does that mean? That means that if there is a name that Allah or the Prophet ﷺ has assigned to the Quran, that name has a purpose, or it explains what the purpose of the Quran is. Okay, so for example, the Quran is called Al-Quran because it is meant to be a recital. You're supposed to read it. It is the Kitab because it is in a book form, and also it mandates what we have to do in our lives. That's part of what the name, how the name tells us what the purpose of the book is. So this is why these names are mentioned, and this is an important discussion, because it actually gives us an idea of why should we study the Quran. What is the purpose of the Quran? And here's the thing. The purpose of the Quran is not just to read it just for the sake of getting, you know, thawab or ajr. It is not that. Okay, that is just one small aspect. But the Quran has a much greater purpose. And that greater purpose is explained by the names the Quran gives itself. Like, i.e. Allah gives it that name, or the Prophet ﷺ has called that. Al-Furqan means the criterion. Right? Do you guys know what a rubric is? Yes or no?
Yes.
You know what a rubric is, right? I hope you do. If you're in school, you get like a rubric. What does a rubric tell you?
What you need to do to achieve the highest marks.
What you need to do to achieve the highest marks. Excellent. Al-Furqan is similar to that. The criterion, you can say, you can also say it is like the rubric for your life. It's going to tell you what is the criteria of success and what is the criteria of failure. What is the criteria of people who are successful and people who are failures? That is what the Quran will tell us. That is what Al-Furqan. It comes from the word faraqa, which means to separate or differentiate. Okay? And the idea is the Quran is separating truth from falsehood. Separating good from evil. success from failure. That is what the Quran Al-Furqan does. Okay, now see, there is something called a very fancy name. Okay, I'm going to give you a very fancy name. Don't worry if you don't remember it. It's called epistemology. Okay, epistemology is how do we understand truth? How do we understand, or more precisely, how do we learn something? What are the sources of knowledge? Okay, can I just read a book of Greek mythology and assume that to be a source of knowledge? The answer is, of course, no. That is not a source of knowledge. It is just fables. Can I understand the world by studying science? The answer is yes, because observation and hypotheses that validate those observations is a source of knowledge. But what is it absolutely true? Like, is it unconditionally true, or is it conditional based on a person's observations, which may change over time? That's the question. What we believe is the Quran is unconditionally, absolutely true. And it is a source of knowledge. And in fact, it is not just the source of knowledge, it is the source that separates the truth from falsehood. It tells us what good is and what bad is. It tells us what is success and what is failure. It is actually what determines how we are supposed to view life and the world and our place in the world. Okay, that is what Al-Furqan means. Now, if you think about that, that is what Allah calls the Quran, and describes it as such. It is the rubric for your life. Okay, so that's one of the names of the Quran that I wanted to discuss with you, Al-Furqan. All right, we're going to come to segment two, the values of Quran, in a little bit, inshallah. Last time you spoke about humility, but we're going to speak about something similar today, okay? Which would be like the, in a way, it's like a opposite of humility. But we'll get to that. Now, Surah Al-Baqarah, the theme of Surah Al-Baqarah is to submit to Allah without compromise, okay? That the Quran lays out is the criteria for success, all right? Criteria for successful people in this world and the next is they are submitting to Allah willingly without compromise. Okay, let us talk about where it all began. That's the first story that Allah mentions in the Quran, the story of Adam. Okay, now I wanted to ask you was Adam, alayhi salam, created like a baby or a full-grown man? Which one do you think?
A grown man.
A full-grown man.
Full-grown man. A full-grown man. This is unique. Zainab, you had a question or a suggestion? Yes, sir. He was created as a full grown man. Okay. Is this how we are created? Is this how we're born? As full grown men and women? Are we? No, right? We're not born like that. We're born as babies. And then we grow into adults, correct? Now, this is unique. What about, was Adam alayhi salam, okay? Was Adam alayhi salam, or actually, let me rephrase the question. Did Adam alayhi salam have parents? Yes or no, people?
No.
No.
No, he didn't.
No. Right?
He did not have parents. So he is a extremely unique creation of Allah. Okay, let's ask the last question. Was Adam alayhi salam created on earth or in heaven?
Heaven.
Heaven.
What do you people think? He was created in heaven. Excellent. Was he supposed to be, was he supposed to live on earth or in heaven? What do you think of that?
Heaven.
He's supposed to live in heaven.
From what I've heard, is he was originally supposed to live in heaven, but Allah had decided that he would send him down to earth, and this is one of the reasons that they say. I heard a khutbah that one of the features of a person who does not believe in Allah is that they will justify their wrongs. Because it said that Hazrat Adam could have also justified, you were going to send me down on earth anyway. Mm. So what difference did it make if I ate the apple or not?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Very good. Hassan, was he supposed to live on earth or in heaven? And the answer is he was supposed to live on the earth. Okay. And that this is a time for us. We can transition into the surah. Okay. Surah number 2. Ayah number 29. Okay. Look at that. What does it say? I need a volunteer. If you can raise your hand in Zoom. Do I have a volunteer? Hassan, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Hassan, can you read the Arabic translation here for me? The English translation here for me.
It is he who created everything on the earth for you. Then he turned towards heaven and fashioned it into the seven heavens. He has knowledge of all things.
Okay, this ayah says Allah has made what's on earth for you. Who's you? Who's you?
Us
human beings, right? What does this mean? It means that our place, temporary residence, was supposed to be from the beginning what?
In heaven.
The earth, right? The heaven is like the al-jannah, or heaven is the place where we go back, as in like that is what you are entered into by the mercy of Allah. Okay. But Allah says he has created the earth for you. That was the place we were supposed to be in. Now, interesting thing is, look at the next ayah. What does the next ayah say? It says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Before Allah created Adam alayhi salam, he said to the angels, I am putting a successor on earth. What does that tell you? Was he supposed to live on earth or on heaven? Or in heaven?
Earth. On earth. Earth,
right? So he was supposed to, but even before Allah made him, he was intending for Adam and the children of Adam to live on the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth for us a place to inhabit and to thrive in. You see? But now, Jannah, of course, is the place where we go after we have attained Allah's mercy. You see? But even before Allah mentions this, he points this out. The idea is this. Being on earth is not a punishment for us. For Adam alayhi salam, he lost his privilege of being in Jannah. Okay? But the privilege for him, that was him, he can earn it back by going back to paradise. Right? Whereas for us, this is not a punishment. The reason why I'm making this point, and this is an important point, is because as Muslims, we don't believe that we are carrying the sins of Adam alayhi salam. Okay? Or any human being, in fact. You don't carry any other person's human being's sins. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. The only sins you carry are your own. Okay? Or if you have, enabled someone else to sin, or entice them to sin, then you take a copy of their sin. Okay? But your sins are the only ones that you are carrying and you will be asked about. Compare that to the Christians. The Christians, for example, say that We are born with what? The original sin. Okay? The original sin, which is the sin of who? Of Adam. Okay? Now, we reject that completely. We reject that completely. And we reject that for two reasons. Number one, as I mentioned before, no human being carries the burden of another human being. Everybody is accountable for their actions only. This is an Islamic principle. Okay? This is what the Quran teaches us. Number, and you know, it's fair. How is it fair to me to like be responsible for what somebody else did that's wrong? It's completely like unfair. And number two, we believe Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, right? Fataba alayhi. Allah accepted his repentance. So his sin is gone. And we believe that us being on earth is not a punishment for us. Us being on earth is Allah's plan. We were supposed to be on earth. And us going to Jannah is also part of, it's something that we have to work for to earn Allah's mercy. Is that point clear? The reason why I was trying to make this point obvious here, okay? Is that we don't believe that we're born with an original sin. All right? We don't think that our life on the earth is like a punishment. In fact, this is how we're supposed to be. That was the plan of Allah's power. All right. Now, the other interesting thing I wanted to point out, right, to you. So this is, you know, one note. We are not born with any other, with any original sin. That is an idea we completely reject. Okay. Also, Adam alayhi salam is a, you know what the word unprecedented mean?
No.
Okay, let's Google the word. So maybe the dictionary can explain what unprecedented means a bit better. Okay. Never done or known before. Good. That's a good explanation. Okay. Something that has never been done or was not known before. He was completely unique. No one before him was like him. And in fact, no one after him was exactly like him. Okay. No one was made as a full grown man. Other than Adam alayhi salam, Hawa, his wife, was created as a full-grown woman, but as a full-grown man, and the first one was Adam. Okay, no one other than Adam and his wife Hawa were born without parents. The only exception was Isa alayhi salam, who didn't have a father. Besides Adam and Hawa, nobody else was created in heaven, like in body. Okay, our souls, we believe, were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before our bodies were brought into existence. But Adam alayhi salam was created in body and soul in heaven, not on earth. Right? Those are things that we say are unprecedented in the sense that it was not something that happened before. Maryam, you have a question.
I'm Saja.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Question?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
So, if Allah already had a plan that we go to earth, does that mean that he already knew that Iblis would turn out to be Shaitan?
That is a deep question. It's a deep question. Okay, the answer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is perfect. You know what that means? That means he has always known everything. There's nothing that happens that's new for Allah. See, like I and you and everybody else, our knowledge is incomplete. It's imperfect. Do you know why? Because we learn. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right? And that's what makes us human beings. That's what makes us imperfect beings, because we don't know everything. We don't have complete knowledge. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. His knowledge is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. That's why he's the only one that can be worshipped. Nobody else can be worshipped. You see?
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything because his knowledge is perfect before it happened.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, though, that you or me are not like responsible for the choices that we make, because from our point of view, we don't know. So we still have to make our choice, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for that excellent question. All right. So he is an unprecedented creation of Allah. Why is this important? I'm bringing these two points up because they're both very important points. Because the prevalent theory today in science is the earth and everything else came into existence. How? Anybody know? With what?
Horizon.
With a big bang, right? How many of you heard of that, that theory? The Big Bang theory. I'm not talking about the show, by the way.
Me. I heard about it.
Me. I haven't.
Yeah, when the sun explodes.
Yeah. Not necessarily the sun, yeah,
and then 100 galaxies are like...
So this is like the prevalent theory today. About 50 years ago, there was a different theory that everybody had accepted as like how the earth, how the universe came into being. Okay. Now, what's interesting is we could actually present the argument that just like the Big Bang was like an unprecedented thing, something that didn't happen before. Okay. And there's nothing like this is a theory that has a hypothesis that has evidence against it, that has evidence for it. Okay. Like I said, it's not absolute truth. Absolute truth comes from the Quran. Okay. The idea is as follows. If we can accept that the entirety of the universe can come from one single unprecedented incident, the Big Bang, we could also then logically accept that the entirety of human beings can come from what? One single unprecedented incident, which is what? The creation of Adam alayhi salam in heaven. Right? Are those two logically the same? They are. In fact, accepting that humans came from one source or one human is easier logically than accepting all of the world and all of the universe in its unimaginable size came from one incident or one source. So this is actually an interesting point. We actually believe that all of us are progeny of Adam alayhi salam, and our father Adam alayhi salam was an unprecedented creation made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. And thus we have these differences with other creation around us. All right. So that is a little bit of an introduction of who Adam alayhi salam was. What does Allah say about Adam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about Adam alayhi salam that he was supposed to be on earth. The angels objected. They say, why would you do this? Why would you put on earth somebody who will shed blood? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry about it. I'll explain to you. I'll show you. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. I'll show you. Okay. Then Adam alayhi salam was taught the names of all things. These things, explanations is that it is perhaps the common terms that we have in languages that are shared between all languages. Perhaps those are the names that Adam alayhi salam was taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, what are the names of these things? The angels did not know. They said, glory be to you, O Allah. Adam alayhi salam was able to tell the names, okay? Showing that excellence as a human being is to acquire knowledge. That's what makes you an excellent, that's what makes you human, in fact. That's who you are, right? Eating, breathing, right? That is human, or in fact, that's what everybody does. But to learn and acquire knowledge, that's a special human quality, okay? And Adam alayhi salam demonstrates that. Now, Adam alayhi salam was told, don't eat from this tree in paradise. Enjoy as you wish, but don't eat from this tree. But the Satan, the devil, caused them to slip, and both of them ate. Both of them. Who's both? Adam and Hawa. They both ate from the tree, and they were both expelled from paradise. This is our introduction to this theme. Remember the theme? What was the theme? Someone tell me. The surah. I want you to remember
the cow?
No, that's the name. The theme of the surah, I want you to remember this. Submission.
To Allah without compromise.
Compromise, okay? We can make it like into three words. Submission without compromise. You with me? All right? Now, what Allah SWT is showing to us from the story of Adam is people will make mistakes. Okay? But a mistake does not define you. A mistake does not define you. It does not. That's not who you are. If you made a mistake, you are not the mistake that you made. Can you fix your mistake? Yes. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Then Adam received some words of prayer from his Lord and he accepted his repentance. He is the forgiving, the merciful. You see, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Our father, Adam alayhi salam, who was he? He was the one who demonstrated his excellence to learning. Okay, he was the one who demonstrated his humanness by making a mistake. That is who we are. That does not mean that we are not submitting to Allah. This is a key point. Our submission to Allah does not mean we don't make mistakes, we don't sin. Our submission to Allah is when we sin, we ask Allah for forgiveness. When we have made an error, we apologize for that error. That is submission without to Allah without compromise. And that's the lesson that we learn from Adam alayhi salam's story. Okay, sins and mistakes. This is important, right? Connecting to the theme. Connecting to the theme of the surah. How do we connect this to the theme of the surah? Sins and mistakes don't mean that you aren't a good Muslim. That's not true. In fact, sinning and making a mistake is to be human. You see? But what submission without compromise, this is misspelled here. What it means is you accept your mistakes. Okay? And that requires what quality? It requires a quality of humility. That's one of the most important values the Quran teaches us. The value or the quality of humility. It requires humility. That is something that's required for us to submit to Allah without compromise. Folks, are you with me? I'm not going to go ayah by ayah, okay? I'm going to talk about like the story generically, mention a few things and connect it back to the theme of the surah, okay? You with me?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Next thing that the surah talks about is who? On the list, Musa and Bani Israel. Bani Israel. In English, they're called the what? Can someone pronounce that word for me?
Israelites.
Israelites.
The Israelites. Okay. Now, who are the Israelites? That's a question. Before I dive into the ayah or dive into the story, you see, right here is when right here, children of Israel. Okay, this is what Allah calls them. Children of Israel. Okay, what is this? Is this like the people who live in Israel today?
No.
It's the Jews, I believe.
It's the children.
If you have like people like raise their hand and I can like ask you to like explain. Who are the children of Israel? All right. We have Suhaib and Sumayya. I'm going to unmute you guys. Suhaib and Sumayya. I'm not sure who.
Yeah.
Is it Suhaib?
Yeah.
All right, Suhaib.
The children of Israel is from Yaqub.
They are from Yaqub. I like that. Excellent answer. From Yaqub. All right. What else? Let's say Hassan. Thank you for that, Suhaib. Hassan?
I believe that they are the Jews.
The Jews. Okay, Jews. Let me write that down. All right. Excellent. Well done, Hassan. Yusuf, I've already told you the answer, man. But say what you have to say. Sorry, I muted you by mistake. Go ahead.
So wasn't Musa before Yaqub?
Wasn't Musa before Yaqub? No, he wasn't. Yeah, Yusuf.
Oh, so that's why it's called the children of Israel.
Israel, yes. Okay. All right. So we have some good answers. Okay. Children of Israel. The question is, who is Israel, right? That's the question, right? Israel is the prophet of Allah, Ya'qub. The son of?
Ibrahim.
Ishaq.
Of Ishaq. The grandson of?
Ibrahim
alayhi salam. That is who Ya'qub is. Okay? So here's how it works. Okay? You have Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the one who is like, has reached the peak of humanity. Along with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam has reached like the pinnacle of humanity. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam had two main sons. Okay, I'm gonna try to demonstrate that with like a diagram here for you. Okay, like give me a minute to figure this diagram out. Insert, come on, insert, and I'm going to put in a shape. No, smart art. Yes, maybe smart art. Okay, maybe this or. Hierarchy is better. Yes. Alhamdulillah. All right. Let's do this, shall we? All right. Oi, that is a very big thing there. All right. So you have Ibrahim alayhi salam. You with me?
Yes.
How many main sons did he have?
Ibrahim and Ishaq.
Ismail. Okay, very good. Ismail and?
Ishaq.
Okay, very good. I like that. Now, the question is, am I also going to ask you, like, what are the biblical names of these people? You know biblical names?
Yeah.
Biblical names, because they're mentioned in the Bible too, right? So I'm going to write it like this. Abraham. Okay? That's how he's referenced in the Bible. Ismail is?
Ishmael.
Okay? Ishaq is?
Isaac.
Okay. Now, the reason why these are biblical, like the reason why we have biblical names is because, as we mentioned before, the Quran is the last revelation. The Prophet ﷺ is the last prophet. This is a meaning, if it's a last of something, there was something before it, right? Yes or no? So the Prophet ﷺ is continuing the message of Prophet Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, and he's the last one. The Quran continues the message of the Torah, the Zabur, the Psalms, the Injil, the Gospels, and it's the last one, right? So the people who believe in those books will have the same prophets that we believe in, but they will have a different name for them because of a different language. In this case, these names are in English. Okay. In fact, originally, the names are not in English. These are Hebrew or Aramaic names. Hebrew and Aramaic are languages that are two similar, very, very similar languages. And they don't have, like, the translation of the Bible is in English today, but the Bible is not in English. Originally, the Torah was in Hebrew. The Injil, the Gospels were in Aramaic. And then translated to Greek. And then translated to Latin. And then finally into English. Okay, there were many steps of its translation. The Quran, alhamdulillah, we have it in pristine, precise, original Arabic. Alhamdulillah. Okay, that's why you have the biblical Latinized English names. All right, Ishaq had who?
Yaqub.
Yaqub. All right, let me see how I can do this. Hold on. There. All right. Next, Ishaq had Yaqub. He had more sons as well, but Yaqub is the main guy. Okay. Yaqub's nickname or his biblical name is
Jacob.
Jacob. He's also known as what?
Israel.
And the biblical version of that would be
Israel.
Okay. How do you spell Israel? Like that? Okay. So Israel, the word, is not like a bad word. It's the name of a prophet. All right. In fact, what Israel means in Hebrew is like Abdullah or Abdurrahman in Arabic, the slave or the servant of God. Okay? That's what it actually means. What it's turned into today as a country, unfortunately, has nothing to do with the great prophet of Allah, Yaqub. All right, Yaqub alayhi salam had who? He had?
Yusuf.
12, yeah, he had 12 sons. Okay.
Yeah.
You have 12 sons. Okay. So I'm going to write 12 sons. So I'm going to put like 10 sons here. And then I put Yusuf. And then there's also Binyamin, also known as Benjamin. And these are the 12 sons. Okay. Let me go back to making this into like a big thing here. Eh? All right. People, are you with me?
Yes.
Know who Bani Israel is before we study about Bani Israel, because Bani Israel comes all over the place in the Quran. The 10 sons of Yaqub, I mean, their names are known like through the Bible, but they're irrelevant. That's not the point of our discussion here, okay?
Okay.
All right. So here we are. All of these 12. What are they? They are the sons of, or the children of Israel. Get it? These all are the children of Israel, i.e. Bani Israel. These are the forefathers of the Jews. The forefathers of the ethnically Jewish people. You see? And among the ethnically Jewish people are the great prophets of Allah. Okay, so I'm gonna write this here. This doesn't mean that this is like many, many years later. Okay, no, not like that. Yeah, that would make it a lot easier, actually. Yes. I'm going to put actually this 12 sons, including Yusuf. Okay. I'm going to do that. Okay. The reason why I'm going to do this is because then I can easily do this. Show you other prophets. Which other prophet is very, very prominent?
Musa
alayhi salam. Also known in the Bible as Moses. Okay. Which other prophet is also very prominent from Bani Israel? Let's see.
Muhammad. Isa.
Very good. Many, many generations later, you have Isa.
And then it's Muhammad, right?
Hold on. We're coming to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who else?
The prophet, no.
We're coming to him, don't worry. Many others, like Daoud and Suleiman, right? Many other prophets.
Many.
All right. Where is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this whole chart?
He comes from Ismail.
He comes from the family tree of Ismail. Ah, you see that? He is right here. Not obviously like many, many thousands of years later, but here comes the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, that is the family tree, very summarized. Of course, there's more detail in the family tree of the prophets of Allah. Okay, many, many prophets came from the children of Israel, Bani Israel. Bani Israel are the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. They are the ethnic Jews. Musa alayhi salam was ethnically Jewish. Isa alayhi salam was ethnically Jewish. Many other prophets, Dawood, Sulaiman, etc. Right? All of these were ethnically Zakariya, Yahya. Ethnically, they were Bani Israelites. Ethnically, they were Jewish. Okay? So the Quran speaks about them a lot because they are the ones who were the carriers of revelation before the Prophet ﷺ. As you can see, there's nobody else in the family from the family tree of Ismail who was a prophet. It was Ismail and then the Prophet ﷺ thousands of years later. All right? So it speaks a lot about them. That's what the story of Bani Israel is about. But also what's interesting about the story of Bani Israel is that Bani Israel lived in the Medina as neighbors to the Muslims. So it is pertinent that when the Prophet ﷺ moves to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses and invites the people who are the neighbors of the Prophet ﷺ, the neighbors of the Muslims to Islam. Right? Also, the reason why this is mentioned so much, the person whose name is mentioned the most in the Quran, by the way, is Musa alayhi salam. Did you know that? The person whose name is mentioned the most in the Quran is Musa alayhi salam.
And do you know how many times? Do you know how many times?
I think it's like over 90 times. Okay. So he is mentioned so much, and many times that he's mentioned with him are mentioned Bani Israel, right? So Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel are mentioned a lot. The reason, wallahu alam, the why they're mentioned so much is because they are very similar, or the mistakes they made, the good things that they did, the bad things they did, there's a lot to learn from that. A lot to learn from that for us as Muslims. And that is the way the Quran speaks about them, as a way of criticizing them when they make a mistake, praising them when they did something right. And that is the approach that we should have as well. Do someone does something good, we are praising them and giving them credit. Someone does something evil or something bad, we are mentioning this is not correct, not appropriate. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does throughout the Quran. Now he's going to talk about Bani Israel. Let's see what he says. He says, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, remember the favors I have bestowed upon you. Wa awfu bi ahdi, to fulfill the covenant that I made with the covenant you made with me, I shall fulfill the covenant I made with you, and fear me alone. Covenant is a word, I don't know if you know what it means. Covenant is like, so this is a biblical term, by the way. Okay, the word in Arabic is ahd. Ahd in Arabic means something that's like a promise, something that's like a something that binds you, right? If we agree to something and we are both fully like agreeing to it, we sign like a contract or some agreement, that becomes an ahd. Okay, if I just give you my word, it's a wa'ada, right? It's a promise. You see, but if we write it down or we agree, yes, this is what we're gonna all do, that becomes ahd, like a higher level of an agreement, a stronger agreement. In the Bible, if you read the Bible in English, you will find the word covenant a lot. Because that's how the word is translated from the Hebrew to the Latin to the Greek, or the Hebrew to the Greek to the Latin. I forgot which language comes second. No, Hebrew to Latin to Greek to English. That's the word they chose for it, covenant. Okay, and it really what it means is it's an ahd. It's a very strong promise, a very, very binding commitment. What Allah is saying to Bani Israel is fulfill the covenant that you made. What was the theme of the surah? The theme of the surah was what, people?
Humility.
That's one of the values. But what's the theme? theme of the surah, let me remind you, is submission without compromise. People, you with me? Submission without compromise. That is what Allah begins with. Fulfill your promise, your covenant to me. Submission without compromise. If you do that, I shall fulfill the covenant I made with you. I will give you, grant you goodness in this life and paradise in the next. You see, that is how Allah begins talking to Bani Israel. However, Bani Israel are a case study in stuff that goes right and lots of stuff that goes wrong. What happens? What does Allah mention about Bani Israel? He says about them, remember when we delivered you from Pharaoh's people, who subjected you to grievous torment, slaying your sons and sparing only your daughters. Surely in that there was a great trial for you from your Lord. What is Allah reminding Bani Israel of? What Allah is reminding them of is that before Musa alayhi salam was born, okay? Before Musa alayhi salam was born, there was, remember the 12 sons including Yusuf? Yusuf alayhi salam had moved, not by choice, but he was kind of like kidnapped to the place which is modern day Egypt, okay? And he established himself. He became a respected leader of the land. Okay? Now, what happened over generations is the people who were in charge started to get into a conflict with the children of Yusuf, Bani Israel, right? And eventually what happened is the powerful dominated and oppressed the Bani Israel, the Israelites, the children of Israel, and made them into slaves. And the ruling class that did that were called what? The Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. Okay, they were the kings. That was the title of the king. Now, these people were brutal rulers. They would make them. They would own them. They would make them into slaves, giving them no freedom and working them to basically like to death. Okay. And then what happened is around the time Musa alayhi salam was born, the person who was in charge, the Pharaoh who was in charge, who was the king at that time, became even more paranoid. And he wasn't just enslaving them or brutally putting them in like very tough working conditions. He started doing what? What does the transition say? Two things. Number one?
Your sons.
What about your sons?
Slaying
your sons. What does that mean?
Killing them.
Number two? Sparing only your daughters.
Right? Only your daughters.
Can you imagine how evil, how unconscionable is this person that he would kill babies? Not just like one, like the whole community's babies. All the boys are killed as the little babies after they're born. Can you imagine how, like, inhuman, like it you can't even express it in words how evil that is? That was Fir'aun. And how powerless were Bani Israel that their children, their sons were being slaughtered and they couldn't do anything about it. All they could do was just accept their fate. That is the time when who was born?
Musa
was born. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to free them. He's going to free them. Okay, we'll talk about how Musa alayhi salam freed them, inshallah, next week, along with the rest of Bani Israel's tale. But it's important that we have this background, understanding who they were, and what they were up against, so we can understand exactly why the ayat are saying what they're saying. People, you with me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, alhamdulillah. Yes. All right, I'll see you all next week, same time, same place. Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you very much for coming out. It was a real pleasure to have you. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.